This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game. Good morning. This is Frida Liu, John Hagedorn from Better Training Solutions here with me. We're on this interesting series called Relearning Listening. Last week, we talked a little bit about what is listening. We talked at length about what is listening. And this week, it's about the causes of ineffective listening, because something a lot of us, I guess, probably don't know that we struggle with, right? And so when you talk about ineffective listening, you know, where do our bad listening habits begin?
Mothers. We established last week that listening is actually easy, but it's the bad habits that are hard to break. And it's these bad habits that you're asking about now. Where does this come from? There's two places that kind of go along, you know, with your career path here. The first place where your bad habits are going to develop are in school. And this is the way we're educated, because you would think that listening is probably the most valuable communication skill that a student could have. And yet listening skills are not taught in schools. They teach you how to read, they teach you how to write, they teach you how to speak. But do you recall ever having listening lessons when you were back there in school? Frida, take out your listening book and turn to page 38. No, of course not. We don't learn. Every now and then, teacher would say, listen, and that was your lesson for the day, right? but there's no real formal listening training. And if students were trained how to listen better, can you imagine how much better they might do in school, and how much earlier they would start to develop good listening habits? So this is something that we're missing out in our curriculum here. And then we continue on. Bad habits continue at work. The interesting thing about this is that when you're at work, you're spending about 75% of your time on communication-related activities. And this would include reading, writing, listening, and speaking. All right, those are our four communication areas, and this is where we're spending our time. 75% of our time is spent on those four things. And I ask my trainees sometimes when I'm doing a program, how much time do you think you're spending on each of these? Reading, writing, listening, and speaking. Let's make a pie chart and break it down to percentages. And you'd be surprised how often I get participants who say, well, they're spending up to 50% of their time speaking, right? Maybe 25% writing, 15% reading, and 10% listening. You know, it's kind of like a token thing. Right. So 50% of the time is what they estimate that they're spending on speaking, right? But when it comes down to the reality of this, studies show again and again that we're spending almost half of our communication time. Of that 75%, we're spending almost half of that time on listening. Now, the other three are going to change depending on what kind of a job you have. All right, because obviously if you're working for one of the local newspapers, you're going to spend more time writing or more time speaking if you happen to be a telephone, you know, assistant or something like that. But it averages out to maybe about 30% speaking, 10% writing, 15% reading. Those are averages. But it's 45 to 50% listening for everyone, regardless of what job you have.
Right.
Now, this means that we're spending up to 50% of our time on our jobs listening. You're making nearly half of your salary to listen. Your company is paying you to listen. And yet, you have so few training programs going on where people are taught how to listen better. People tend to emphasize our productive skills, our speaking skills, and our writing skills, because somehow we have this idea that if we're going to be productive, we have to emphasize the productive skills, learn how to talk better, learn how to write better, right? But it's actually our receptive skills that make the biggest difference in reading and especially in listening.
Right. You know, just earlier on, you talked about how, you know, in school, we don't spend enough time listening. And that's why, I guess, if our education system involves more discussion, you're forced to listen.
True.
As opposed to just being taught something and, you know, you can sort of zone out.
True. But discussion is also the theater for listening. We can teach you how to run a discussion. But in addition to learning how to organize what you're going to say in your discussion, we also have to teach you how to listen effectively within this discussion so you know what the other person means before you can actually respond in a meaningful way. Mm. All right. Even discussion requires teaching listening.
Right. Now, okay, what are the consequences, of not listening well, with so few people listening effectively on their jobs?
Right.
What happens as a result?
Let's go back to work on that, all right? Back to the job, all right? If you have a situation that is hostile for listening, which is most work environments, you've got, let's talk about just five consequences here, things that can go wrong. First of all, you're going to have low morale. Hmm. Nobody listens to me. I have these ideas. Nobody listens to me. It seems like I'm ignored. I bring things up and nobody ever listens to what I have to say. All right? Low morale. A second thing that happens as a result of that is going to be higher absenteeism and turnover. If you're not happy in your job, you're going to go somewhere else. A third thing that can happen, of course, is going to be lower productivity. If you're not motivated, if you feel like you're not getting what you need on your job, why should you be investing into anything that you are giving to somebody else when you're getting nothing in return? Simple listening, right? The fourth thing that happens is we get ineffective organizational communication. Mm. In all levels and in all directions. In fact, if we go back, most of our communication breakdowns and most miscommunication that happens at work is the result of poor listening. That's the culprit. When things go wrong, you can probably go back to listening skills and say, okay, why didn't this happen effectively? Weren't we listening properly, all right? The fifth thing that I think is very interesting, and this comes from our neighborhood. This study was done down there at Nanyang Technological Institute in Singapore. And what they found is that ineffective listening skills also leads to lower proficiency in speaking and writing.
Hmm.
Yeah, because they say that productive skills like speaking and writing require activation through the receptive skills. You cannot speak effectively unless you learn how to listen effectively first. This is what they found in their studies down there. So a lot of the reasons why people cannot speak effectively or perhaps cannot write effectively, according to this study, may be because they don't listen effectively either.
Wow. Yeah. So that's all the more reason you should be able to
listen
properly so that your other skills will be better.
Correct.
It's all interconnected?
It's all interconnected. You know, these four listening, four communication skills that we have, reading, writing, listening, speaking, are all interconnected this way, yes.
Okay, now what prevents us from listening better? John Hagedorn from Better Training Solutions will be addressing that right after this in Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Is Raise Your Game. Good morning, this is Frida Liu. And our series this month is Relearning Listening. John Hagedorn from Better Training Solutions here with me. Last week, we touched on the very interesting and simple topic, what is listening? This week, we've been talking about the causes of ineffective listening. And, you know, with so few people listening effectively, what happens as a result? Very interesting things that you mentioned, some of which is in the workplace, high absenteeism, low morale, and it's from the simple things of not being able to listen better. Now, what's preventing us from listening better?
There are probably hundreds of causes. And you can probably go online and find lists and lists of things that cause ineffective listening. But the main cause is a lack of mindfulness about listening. Mm. We don't think about listening. And listening requires a different skill set from any other communication skill. When you are listening, other skills are activated that are different from reading or speaking or writing. And we have to be conscious of those skills. If we're not, then we're not really listening because we're not really activating the skills that we need. So that's the main cause. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about mindfulness later on. It's kind of like a Zen yoga term, right? But I'm going to talk about it in a different sense when it comes to listening. Some of the other barriers that we face in listening, well, you've got external barriers and you've got internal barriers. Most of them are internal. External barriers are sometimes excusable. If you're in a very noisy environment, it's hard to listen. It's hard to pay attention. And if you're listening to a speaker who's got quirks or is uninteresting to listen to, perhaps those can also interfere with your ability to listen. So these are external things. But the main thing that we have to focus on are more internal barriers, because we're accountable for these. External barriers, okay, we understand. But internal barriers, you're accountable for. So let's take a look at five of these and see why we might not listen effectively. The first one is a lack of focus. People can be easily distracted. And it could be, of course, by noise in the environment. It could be by something going on outside. Right. Interestingly, it could be whether you find the person that you're speaking to physically attractive or not. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe your attention is going elsewhere. And as a result, you're not focused completely on listening, but focusing on other things, right? Lack of focus also happens because of an inability to filter out these distractions. Okay. When you go out to sit, you want to go out with someone to sit down and talk. You don't want to go to a club, and you don't want to go to a rock bar with a band or something. You want to go someplace where the environment is conducive, you know, where they're not playing Led Zeppelin, where they're playing nothing, or Nora Jones at best, you know, something quiet in the background so you can focus on listening so the distractions aren't there. You have to choose the right environment to minimize these distractions. A second barrier that we have is one that you brought up last week, and we spent a little bit of time talking about empathy and emotional intelligence. Mm. Some people are not very emotionally intelligent or are less emotionally intelligent than others. Mm. And as a result, they may feel or they may have a lower ability or a lower sense of empathy. And empathy is required in listening because you really, if you're very going to listen effectively, you have to really feel with the speaker. It's not sympathy. I feel sorry for you. It's empathy. I feel with you. And to really connect and to really understand, you have to be able to empathize and allow people to talk. Very often we're too ready to respond, too ready to advise. And as we're listening, we're paying attention to how we're going to respond, creating what we're going to say, when actually your mind should be blank if you're going to be completely empathizing and allow the speaker to say everything they need to say until they get it all out. Hmm. Right? And sometimes lack of empathy is what inhibits us from just sitting back and taking it all in without having to prepare for what we put out.
Okay, now before you get to the third one as well, just early on with your lack of focus, the inability to filter out. Can it be learned, the ability to filter out?
Yes, it can. And we're going to talk about that extensively, but it's just something you have to practice again and again. Mm. For those who meditate or for those who are doing yoga, their teachers will tell them, look, when you start learning meditation, we're going to give you this word or this phrase or this idea that you have to concentrate on. Mm. And we understand that during the first few stages of learning this, this might not be easy to do. At some point, your mind is going to wander, and that's okay. But if it does, bring it back.
Right.
And when it happens again, bring it back again. And just keep on doing it. Keep on bringing it back. Practice again and again and again. And the same thing is true with acquiring listening and filtering out the outside. As soon as you realize that you're no longer filtering, bring it back. And when you realize again that you're no longer filtering, bring it back again. And just keep on doing it and doing it and doing it until finally it becomes second nature.
All right. Okay. The third one then.
All right. Another barrier that we have is not a lack of nonverbal assurance. Some people don't look like they're listening.
Ah.
And here we're talking about things like appropriate body language for listening, open body language. We're talking about eye contact. Nonverbal signals are listening signals. Yeah, these are the things that let people know that you are in tune with them. How far you're leaning forward, what's the expression on your face, things like that. But we're going to talk about this. These things, these nonverbal things, should be natural, not something that you put on.
Right.
And this is something that people used to teach in active listening. Do you remember that phrase? We're going to talk about that a little bit next week. We're not talking about active listening here. We're talking about natural nonverbal responses to totally absorbed empathic listening. Right? So these signals that you send, if they're not there, the person that you're speaking with may get the impression that you're not listening at all. Fourth is the lack of open-mindedness. We tend to be judgmental sometimes. I was talking to one of your producers out here last week when I was here, and he mentioned to
and
me that
I didn't
that,
turn out. Okay.
He mentioned to me that when you cannot help it that when you're going to sit down and talk to someone, you begin pigeonholing right away. Mm. Based on who you're speaking with or what your perceptions are or what your cultural background is like, all kinds of things can put that person that you're speaking with in a particular pigeonhole, and that's the way that you're going to communicate with them, and that's how you're going to be listening to them along with all of your other baggage that goes along with that pigeonhole.
Right.
But a lack of open-mindedness, what we're talking about here is your biases, your judgments, your perceptions, your analysis, your thinking while you're listening. And this has to be completely eliminated when you're going to be listening effectively. True, this is hard, all right? But again, this is a bad habit that we have to break rather than actually thinking, well, it's the listening that's hard. The listening is easy, but it's the bad habit that we have that's hard to break.
Hmm.
All right. And finally, the lack of thing here is the final thing here that we have for a barrier is a simple lack of interest.
Mm, okay.
Right. And that could be two things. It could be disinterest. It doesn't involve me. Or it could be uninterest. It doesn't entertain me. Mm. So as a result, we can sit there and pretend to listen for a little while with the smile on your face and the vacant look on your eye that goes, And we have all our little verbal and nonverbal responses, But our mind is a million miles away just because it's not entertaining. So these are some of the barriers, some of the things that prevent us from listening effectively. But we're going to be talking soon about how that can change.
All right. And next week, the benefits of intelligent listening. John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions. We're going to close today with Collector Soul with their song Listen, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.